Looking to diversify your business portfolio with a high-growth opportunity? Discover Mathnasium Learning Centers, the number one math-only education franchise. For more than 20 years, Mathnasium has triumphed in a booming multi-billion dollar tutoring industry with over 1,200 centers worldwide. Ranked on Entrepreneur's Franchise 500 list for 11 consecutive years, Mathnasium is low-cost, recession-resistant, and offers significant growth potential in an expanding market. The demand for math education is skyrocketing, driven by declining math scores and the growing need for STEM skills in today's workforce. What makes Mathnasium a smart investment? Affordable entry point and quick build-out time. High-earning centers with seven-figure annual revenue, industry-leading 30% plus average profit margins, and it's a trusted brand with high consumer satisfaction scores. And here's something extra. They're offering a 25% discount on the franchise fee for former teachers and veterans. So whether you're expanding your franchise portfolio or making your first investment, Mathnasium gives you the systems and support you need to succeed. Get your free franchise information kit at mathnasiumfranchise.com or call 888-763-2604. That's mathnasiumfranchise.com or call 888-763-2604. Do I spend all year thinking about my entire financial picture? No. You see, I have deep, important things to think about, like, is this finally going to be the Jets' year? But then, inevitably, tax season rolls around and I feel suddenly, violently compelled to check the balance in my retirement account, which lately has made rooting for the Jets seem like the upbeat choice. But not this year. This year is different. Monarch has me actually thinking about my financial picture before the panic sets in, proactively, like an adult. I even have a plan for my tax refund. Simplify your finances with Monarch. Monarch is the all-in-one personal finance tool designed to make your life easier. It brings your entire financial life, budgeting, accounts and investments, net worth, and future planning together in one dashboard on your phone or laptop. Feel aware and in control of your finances this tax season and get 50% off your Monarch subscription with code HAPPENS. How awesome is that? Achieve your financial goals for good with Monarch, the all-in-one tool that makes money management simple. Use code HAPPENS at monarch.com for half off your first year. That's 50% off at monarch.com. Code HAPPENS. Hey there, welcome to another snack size edition of our show, How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. Hey, do you like music? Me too. We have so much in common. Hey, you know what? Speaking of music, just a quick shout out to Nika RPM, who created the funky ass theme song to this show. You can check out all of their music over on Bandcamp. I highly recommend it. And speaking of listening to music, as much as I love the fact that every recorded song in the known universe is available to me via the phone in my pocket, I have to say I do miss the days of flipping through CD booklets and staring at album covers, dutifully not cleaning my room or doing my homework. And I remember this music shop called Record Stop on Long Island, where me and my other music-obsessed friends would go and dig around and feel utterly terrified that we were going to ask the wrong question to the music psychos who worked there. I remember one time I had read about Robert Johnson, and I heard there was a box set of this blues legend. And I remember I asked the guy behind the counter for the box set of Eric Johnson, and this guy's head nearly exploded in pure disdain for this idiot standing in front of him. It was terrifying. It was beautiful. And I bring all this up because I recently had a conversation with a man who is trying to keep those record store experiences alive since 2007. Michael Kurtz is the co-founder of Record Store Day, and what started out as a grassroots effort to keep vinyl records in the stores that sell them alive has become an international phenomenon. Every year, Record Store Day invites music lovers to go to their local indie shop to buy special vinyl and CD releases made specifically for that day. Fans line up for hours, store owners go nuts with cookouts and body painting and performances. It is a very good time. The first Record Store Day was actually in 2008, and it was rung in by Metallica, who spent hours at Rasputin Music in San Francisco meeting their fans. And then in 2009, Jesse Boots Electric Hughes of Eagles of Death Metal declared himself Record Store Day Ambassador. And since then, artists spanning Ozzy Osbourne to Chuck D to Taylor Swift have worn the annual ceremonial sash. This year's ambassador is Bruno Mars. So Record Store Day 2026 will happen on April 18th. Mark your calendars. So 15 years after he and his friends dreamed up this idea, I asked Michael to give us the lay of the music land way back when and set the scene for what inspired the Record Store Day we now know and love.
So at the time, Tower was sort of the flagship, not for the United States, but for the world, for physical music. Napster had launched, and I think that was like right around the time the streaming was starting. All music business at that point was pretty much CDs. There was no vinyl, like record stores didn't have vinyl sections. I mean, they had used vinyl sections. The vinyl business at that time was mainly, you know, audiophile stuff or maybe some punk 7-inches. Not much. You know, there definitely wasn't any business. There was no infrastructure for vinyl at the time. And what happened was I got together with Tom Beery, the president of Warner Brothers Records, and said, you know, look, can we have a celebration of record stores, the culture of record stores, and put out vinyl records again? And he was enthusiastic because he'd been talking to the folks over at Metallica about relaunching the Metallica catalog. So we pulled it all together, and Metallica said they would celebrate the first Record Store Day. And we did it in Rasputin in Oakland, California. And we had about 80 stores participate. We made about 30 records. Total pressing was probably around, I don't know, maybe 25, 30,000 records total for all of those records. And we went out with it and to see what would happen. And it was just a huge, you know, exciting kind of successful thing. And we realized that it's because people wanted vinyl records again. I took that success and then started going to managers, artist managers and labels and knocking on their doors saying, can we put vinyl records out again? And, you know, most people were not receptive because, like I said, there was no business for vinyl. There was no distribution of vinyl. There was no, you know, manufacturing of vinyl. All the majors had sold their plants. The famous story for the EMI had used all the lathes and the vinyl manufacturing materials that they had in the UK and used it to fill the foundation of their building. They used it as like construction fill because it was that dead. Wow. Yeah, it was not coming back. It was over. And so the first 2 or 3 years was me calling record store owners saying, hey, we want to join the revolution, the counter revolution. Let's bring vinyl back again. A lot of people were friendly and nice. And there was quite a few that were quite unfriendly because they were bitter about the way the music industry had treated record stores and that they would sell, you know, you could buy CDs from mass merchants cheaper than the stores could buy them direct from the manufacturers. It was that messed up. And then on the record store side and then on the label distribution side, it was, you know, trying to get the big ship to turn. You know, can we go in this other direction that's away from streaming when, you know, at a time when, you know, presidents of the majors would often start their yearly speech with, if you're in the business of physical music, you're in the wrong building. There's nothing here for you.
Wow.
That it was that clear, the communication. But, you know, we just kept banging at the door, kept networking, evangelizing. And, you know, you fast forward to where we are today, where we're doing Taylor Swift 7 inches that are manufacturing runs, you know, in excess of 100,000 just for one record, for Record Store Day.
Okay, well, there's your exhaustive history of what Record Store was and what it is today. But it led me to wonder, how does this all work exactly?
How it works is essentially I get out and hustle to find sponsors to pay my payroll for myself and my partner, Carrie Colleton, mainly. Because we made a decision, and it really was me, early on, to not monetize Record Store Day, not make it about, like, we're going to add a dollar to every record that gets distributed, and we'll use that to become rich. I did it because I knew if artists got the word that we were doing it to make money, they would back away. They would not, because the whole idea is for them to give something special for independently owned record stores, for mom and pop record stores. And if they believed in it, then we'd be more likely to be successful. And it turned out that the intuition was correct, because here we are 19 years later and we're getting records from the biggest artists of our time right now. They're donating, essentially donating. They make some money. It's not huge, but they make some money. But they're really doing it to help out these stores. And that's why it's successful on the business side. And that's why also I think we've been able to grow the vinyl business to the point now that the announcement this past week was at over $1 billion in sales for the first time ever, even including its heyday. You know, that's why it happened, because it was done for the right reasons. It wasn't done with a profit motive.
So those industry-wide numbers are pretty gigantic. But what does Record Store mean for the individual record sellers? What does it mean for the mom and pop shops?
The wrap-up reports I get from stores, typically they'll say, you know, Record Store Day, they can do anywhere from a month to 2 months worth of business in that one day.
Wow.
Which gets them through the hard times, because there are slow times for record stores where they're really, I'm sure everybody's had that experience walking in the store and there's like nobody there. Because right. You go through periods, and it's true of any independent business, where you're a feast or famine. That really gives them a solid footing from everything, from their store finances to their open to buy dollars with their distributors to paying rent, payroll, decisions on hiring new employees. All of that is greatly impacted. There are about 1,600 stores that participate in the U.S. and another 2,500 for the rest of the world. You know, we're affecting a large number of people that are, you know, small business owners that are able to expand their business, or at least at a minimum, keep it healthy.
So local record shops are open all week long, all year long. And besides these exclusive offerings, I wondered if he thinks there's something bigger that makes Record Store Day such a success year after year, and not just a success that keeps growing and getting bigger and bigger.
For several reasons. One is, yes, they want to find the record, the Easter egg. They want to find the thing that they really want. It might be an obscure jazz album, or it might be like Olivia Dean 7-inch. It could be anything in between. It could be a Talking Heads or a Doors record. They're in line to get that. But by getting in line, they're talking to other music fans like themselves. And it becomes like a party, which was the idea from the beginning.
Finally, without getting into the whole audiophileness of it all, I asked Michael if he could put into words what I can't, because I'm not a poet and I'm dead inside. But why is listening to an album and holding in your hands such a better experience than just queuing it up on Spotify?
The word is experience. You know, life is short. It's all about choices. And when you go to a record store and you buy a new album and you take it home, you've got, you know, you go through the process of taking the shrink wrap off, you open the jacket, You know, you start looking at the artwork, you put the record on, and then you're reading the liner notes often, and you're getting a message from your favorite artist that was sent to you. It's almost like a postcard or something. It's like a message that you're getting. And that, I think, is the experience that pretty much everybody has once they get into vinyl culture.
All right, so put on your boogie shoes and get yourself to Record Store Day. And once again, a shout out to the makers of the music that is the theme song to this show, Nika RPM. You could check them out on Bandcamp, and I believe if you are a physical media type of person, you can order their CDs and even some music-themed comic books. So check that all out. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, subscribing, sending us comments, sending me emails. Yes, you can hit me up directly at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. Tell me what song gets you amped up and ready to go. Tell me what song makes you want to go to sleep. Tell me what song your parents would play in the car that would drive you absolutely nuts and you hope you never, ever, ever have to hear again. Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. I'm looking in your direction.